New Year's Eve 2016 found me with a brutal hangover, contemplating how I'd once again been persuaded to abandon my few drinks plan for a night of bar hopping and novelty cocktails. Throughout my 20s, I'd convinced myself drinking was normal and cool, using alcohol to mask insecurities and reveal my outgoing side. What I didn't realize was how thoroughly I'd lost touch with my authentic self, building a lifestyle that left me profoundly discontented. This book isn't just for those with obvious drinking problems. It's for anyone sensing that alcohol might be holding them back from their fullest potential, from the emotional depth, personal success, professional excellence, and spiritual connection available to us all. Whether you're considering breaking up with booze completely or simply seeking a healthier relationship with alcohol, what follows is a roadmap to unbottling your true potential in a world obsessed with drinking. Endorsed by wellness leaders and embraced by celebrities like Chrissy Teigen and Blake Lively, who've spoken openly about their alcohol-free journeys, this perspective is rapidly transforming how our culture views sobriety, not as deprivation, but as a powerful lifestyle choice for those who refuse to settle for mediocrity. In early 2016, I found myself taking an online quiz to determine if I had a drinking problem. The results confirmed what I suspected. I wasn't an alcoholic, yet something felt off. From the outside, my life looked great. Good job, cute apartment, active social life. But I couldn't shake the feeling that alcohol had overstayed its welcome. My drinking history was unremarkable. No rock bottoms, no ruined relationships, no neglected responsibilities. I drank no more than my seemingly successful peers. When I mentioned my concerns to my therapist, she suggested mindfulness and moderation. But moderation never stuck, and I couldn't ignore the instinctual knowing that alcohol was holding me back from my truest potential. I'd built my entire persona around drinking. It was my social lubricant, my liquid courage, my mood enhancer, my sorrow drowner. The thought of quitting seemed like social suicide, especially at 30. The problem wasn't that I couldn't stop drinking, it was that I couldn't envision what my alcohol-free life would look like in our booze-centered world. I needed someone to tell me, you don't need to have a problem with alcohol for it to be a problem in your life. You can quit drinking without a rock bottom, health concern, or moral reasoning. You can quit simply because alcohol no longer serves you, because you don't like how it makes you feel, or because you sense it's holding you back from being your most authentic self. What if your curiosity about sobriety isn't about recognizing a problem, but seizing an opportunity? What if that tiny voice urging you to reconsider alcohol is alerting you that you're meant for more than what you can accomplish under alcohol's hazy trance? Instead of asking, "Do I have a problem with alcohol?" try these questions instead. How has alcohol become problematic in my life? Is alcohol robbing me of valuable time? Is alcohol depleting my physical and mental energy? Would my life be better without alcohol? Imagine what your life would be like with the confidence to navigate the world without alcohol, showing up hangover-free every day. How would you feel? How might you show up differently for relationships and responsibilities? This isn't about having a problem. It's about recognizing an opportunity to live more fully. I spent most of 2016 trying to make moderation work because complete abstinence terrified me. I tried every trick, taking breaks to reset my tolerance, creating master plans for when to drink, setting limitations on what and how much I would drink, and implementing strategies like drinking on a full stomach with water between cocktails. In the end, moderation felt like more work than freedom. I'd often go from intending to have just a few to indulging in a few too many, followed by unproductive hungover days. Despite cleanses, detoxes, and challenges, I'd eventually return to previous patterns, wasting mental energy and damaging my self-confidence. We've placed alcohol on a godlike pedestal, believing it can both elevate our happiness and subdue our misery. It's no wonder we're hesitant to remove something that seems to hold our lives together, especially when society shouts about how much we need alcohol to relax. While moderation is possible for some, it's not as easy or glamorous as it sounds. A According to Gretchen Rubin, we're naturally either moderators or abstainers. Moderators do better avoiding absolutes and strict rules, while abstainers find it easier to give something up altogether than to indulge moderately. As an all-or-nothing person, learning about these archetypes freed me from shame and helped me realize abstinence could be liberating rather than burdensome. I initially thought I could will my way to moderation through self-discipline, but two limiting factors make this difficult. First, willpower is a limited resource that depletes throughout your day. By wine o'clock, it's miraculous if you have any left. Second, alcohol isn't designed to be moderated. It's a dependency-causing substance formulated to loosen inhibitions, making it easier to convince yourself to have another drink once you're already lubricated. We've created the narrative that failing to master moderation makes us failures, but we're holding ourselves to unrealistic expectations. Growing research, including an Oxford University study, suggests there is no safe dose of alcohol consumption. I'm disappointed when health professionals promote moderate alcohol consumption as part of wellness, as it's misleading. We wouldn't accept advice to use other drugs in moderation, yet alcohol is the only drug you have to explain not using. To bust through moderation myths, get out of your own way and stop self-sabotaging with manufactured rules. Ditch the F word forever, as it creates intimidating commitments that trigger fear and rebellion, and quit the quick fixes like resets and challenges, as short-term solutions rarely produce long-term results. My love affair with alcohol began innocently. I was a self-conscious young woman desperate to fit in. Growing up with social shortcomings, I discovered alcohol as a magical elixir that temporarily subdued my anxieties and transformed me from nerdy goody-goody to party girl. In college, I romanticized drinking as my key to success, believing it made me confident, flirtatious, and outgoing. Despite the consequences, regrettable behavior, risky situations, emotional breakdowns, and brutal hangovers, I stayed in this toxic loop for over a decade. What makes quitting so difficult isn't physical dependency, but our delusional fantasies about alcohol's magical abilities. We all harbor elaborate fantasies about why we need alcohol and who it allows us to be. These romanticized beliefs didn't just appear with our first drink. We've been collecting data about alcohol's supposed benefits throughout our lives. Socially, I believed alcohol made me outgoing, sexy, sophisticated, and fun. Emotionally, I used it to feel less anxious, heartbroken, overwhelmed, or frustrated. Our subconscious interpretations about alcohol began long before we took our first drink. From childhood observations, my uncles drinking special sodas around the barbecue, suggesting drinking creates community, my mom enjoying occasional wine coolers after mowing the lawn, alcohol helps relaxation, each moment shaped my future relationship with alcohol. Media messages created additional subconscious imprints. At 17, I became obsessed with Sex and the City, idolizing Carrie Bradshaw as the epitome of the cool girl, sexy, successful, confident, and independent. What brought her character to life? A quirky wardrobe, Louboutin heels, and fancy cocktails. The show made Cosmopolitans the it drink of the early 2000s. I continued my party girl charade throughout my 20s, upgrading from cheap vodka to mediocre wine and proper cocktails. Alcohol became a tool for elevated social status, as I traded fraternity parties for swanky happy hours and charity events. Despite the upgraded glassware and venues, nothing about my relationship with alcohol was sophisticated. I still used it to hide insecurities and numb emotional discomfort. By 29, the party girl lifestyle felt shallow and mundane. Seeking change, I moved to Austin, Texas, hoping to transform into a spiritual yogi type. But wherever you go, there you are, proved true. I hadn't done the inner work needed for transformation. For 18 months, I lived a double life, spiritual seeker during the week, party girl on weekends, caught in an existential crisis. New Year's Day 2017 marked my last drink, though I only intended a 30-day break. This short break created space for breakthroughs that led to a complete, unintentional breakup with alcohol. Understanding your psychological relationship with alcohol helps you recognize that changing your relationship isn't as simple as abstaining. It reveals how deeply alcohol has infiltrated your life through fantasies and projections. And it helps you recognize your own self-sabotage patterns so you can intentionally change them. One major concern when changing your relationship with alcohol is how to tell others you're not drinking. Here's a simple approach. First, know your why. List three inarguable personal reasons that others can't easily challenge. Second, create a basic script. I'm not drinking, time frame, because inarguable reason. Third, directly ask for support from those who care about you. Fourth, communicate your decision to an advocate before social events. By 30, I felt stuck despite outward success, a master's degree, great job, beautiful home, and vibrant social life. Despite investing in therapy, yoga, healthy eating, and spiritual growth, I remained unfulfilled. I realized I needed to subtract rather than add to my life and reluctantly examined my relationship with alcohol. Though I tried repeatedly to find balance, the math was clear. Booze had to go if I wanted my best life. Consider how many hours you spend preparing for drinking events, drinking, and recovering from drinking. It's humbling to realize how much of your life is devoted to alcohol. This isn't about beating yourself up over lost time. Every opportunity for change comes in divine timing. Our internal narrative is guided by two opposing voices, the inner critic, ego, and inner guide, intuition, higher self. The inner critic represents criticism, judgment, negativity, and thrives on your stagnation while seeking external validation. The inner guide embodies encouragement, possibility, and abundance fulfilled by internal progress. When it comes to alcohol, your inner critic encourages drinking because it fuels insecurities and stunts growth, amplifying its own voice while simultaneously muffling your inner guide. To reach your fullest potential, you need clarity about what that version of you looks like. Frequent drinking dilutes this clarity by muffling your connection to your inner guide, your source of clarity and creativity. Without this connection, you follow dreams that aren't truly yours. My coaching clients consistently report after quitting, "I didn't know how much I couldn't see, but now that I see it, I can't unsee it." While drinking muffles your inner guide, it simultaneously amplifies your inner critic, the voice of skepticism, judgment, lack, and fear. You felt this as anxiety during hangovers, but regular drinking increases your inner critic's power over time. When this voice dominates, you're less likely to dream big or take inspired action, as it subtly deters you from pursuing your potential. Even as a go-getter, achieving your true potential requires a new level of motivation. Beyond obvious hangovers, you likely don't notice the subtle fog that lingers for days after drinking, causing slower movement, more negative thinking, and reduced motivation. As an achiever, this is hard to spot since you're still outperforming others, but you're operating at just a fraction of your capacity. Alcohol, ethanol, is a toxin that damages cells indiscriminately throughout your body. Even moderate drinking impairs vital organ functions, degrades cognitive capacity, interferes with digestion, suppresses immunity, decreases sex drive, and worsens anxiety and depression. These effects accumulate chronically, making them easy to overlook or attribute to aging. Contrary to popular hopes, there are no real health benefits to alcohol consumption. Those antioxidants in wine, you can get the same benefits from fruits without ingesting what amounts to lighter fluid. Organic wine, sugar-free seltzers, or trendy, good-for-you cocktails with supplements like collagen? Just marketing tactics. The reality is simple. Alcohol is alcohol is alcohol, a substance with zero nutritional value. From a metaphysical perspective, everything has energy, omnipresent yet invisible. You are a vibrational being in a vibrational universe, highly sensitive to the energetic experiences around you. Alcohol, as a depressant, literally depletes physical energy, slows cognitive function, and takes you out of energetic alignment. Though we can function at a lower vibration, it's far from optimal. Every choice is an energetic investment with either positive or negative returns. Like attracts like. positive energetic investments yield positive returns that increase your personal vibration. Though alcohol may initially seem positive, as a depressant, its overall energetic return is always negative. Most people use alcohol as an emotional crutch in situations where they don't feel competent to cope. We drink to cheat our way through emotional challenges, getting the illusion of mastery when we're just avoiding growth. Drinking is like an emotional life jacket. It keeps you floating on the surface under the illusion you know how to swim, blocking you from experiencing both negative and positive emotions fully. As drinkers, we present dulled-down versions of ourselves. Though I thought alcohol brought out a more engaging, free, careful version of me, it only diluted my brilliance. I wasn't being authentic. I'd put so much effort into becoming a cooler, more socially acceptable version that I hardly knew my authentic self. You do yourself and the world a disservice by showing up as this dull, diluted version, hiding the unique, honest parts that make you human and endearing. One of the most massive breakthroughs I had came months into my break from alcohol. In the shower, my inner guide spoke clearly. I see you doing big things in this world, but I can't see you doing them with alcohol in the picture. Overwhelmed with emotion, I knew my relationship with alcohol was over. Even if your inner guide hasn't delivered such a message, I believe she's been whispering to you about your potential, encouraging you to stop diluting yourself. You were guided to this path for a reason. You have big work to do, and changing your relationship with alcohol might be the final piece in your potential puzzle. Potential isn't just about professional or intellectual achievements. It's about becoming the most authentic, self-expressed version of yourself across all life dimensions. I see potential holistically, expressed through personal fulfillment, emotional capacity, relationship quality, professional success, and spiritual connection. Alcohol significantly hinders performance in these vital areas, keeping you from feeling fulfilled. On some level, you know you were meant for something extraordinary. You've always known this, but got caught up in doing ordinary things while expecting extraordinary results. Your accomplishments, though impressive, are minor compared to your full potential. What if you were free to become who you were always meant to be? What if nothing held you back? How would your life change if you allowed yourself to shine at your brightest? Your bravery to explore your potential will massively impact the world around you. Don't settle for ordinary or convince yourself you should be happy with what you have, especially if that requires diluting your potential with alcohol because everyone else is doing it. You're meant for the extraordinary. It's your birthright. When I traveled to Mexico just 5 months into my alcohol-free journey, I initially dreaded being sober at an all-inclusive resort. My fear of missing out nearly convinced me to break my commitment. Instead, I discovered the joy of missing out, JOMO, experiencing paradise hangover-free, fully present for swimming with dolphins, exploring Mayan ruins, and snorkeling. I realized the only thing I was missing was being drunk while gaining authentic experiences and memories. This shift from FOMO to JOMO becomes your superpower as a non-drinker, allowing you to experience life's wonders with heightened senses rather than through alcohol's numbing filter. Transform your fear of missing out into the joy of missing out with this 5-step method. First, commit to experiencing joy both in the moment and the extended pride of conquering experiences sober. Second, play the tape forward and honestly assess what drinking typically leads to: anxiety, regret, hangovers. Third, get clear on what you think you're missing. Often, it's just the momentary bliss of getting tipsy, not some profound shared experience. Fourth, nurture your inner child who fears rejection by affirming, "I am deserving and capable of having fun." Finally, see through the eyes of joy by fully engaging your senses in every experience, discovering the world in vivid technicolor rather than alcohol's dulled haze. At my friend's wedding in Mexico, I worried about being perceived as boring without alcohol. Making a commitment that sobriety didn't equal boredom, I hit the dance floor and had genuine fun. Years later, the bride still mentions how much fun I was. Life is fun, and you are capable of enjoying it without alcohol. Many of us falsely believe we need to be tipsy to have fun. To find your authentic fun, follow 5 rules. Be willing to have fun by trying with an open mind. Reimagine fun by reconnecting with childhood activities you abandoned. Recognize that if something isn't fun sober, maybe it's just not fun. Feel into your nervous system to recognize when environments are overwhelming. And set new boundaries, like arriving early to events and leaving when meaningful connection fades. As you shift social priorities and pursue your potential, you'll inevitably experience boredom. We tend to avoid boredom by overfilling our calendars, drinking, scrolling, and binging TV. But boredom is vital for growth. It's the space where we confront our emotions. The more comfortable we become sitting with our emotions, the more capable we are of stepping into our best lives. Most of us fear feeling and sitting with our emotions. Without proper tools or permission to experience our emotional range, we turn to alcohol to numb overwhelming feelings. Our parents did their best, but often sent mixed signals, having angry outbursts while punishing us for displaying anger, or hiding tears while discouraging crying. Few people grow up in households where emotions were discussed and celebrated. When emotions aren't validated in childhood, we struggle to manage them as adults, precisely when alcohol enters as an emotional crutch. We're taught alcohol can both drown sorrows and elevate joy, making it an emotional cure-all while preventing us from learning to process our feelings naturally. Emotional wellness requires awareness of our emotions, intelligence about them, and the skill to sit with and feel through them. Since drinking stunts emotional growth, exploring your emotional potential initially feels awkward. Remember, you are a powerful being who doesn't need anything external to perform basic human functions like feeling. You're capable of experiencing the full spectrum of emotions. This ability wouldn't exist if you weren't capable of handling it. We commonly use alcohol to numb lower vibe emotions. The wine after a stressful day, the cocktail after bad news, drowning sorrows after heartbreak. But alcohol merely delays emotions before magnifying them, like the hangover anxiety that follows drinking away your troubles. Drinking to avoid emotions is like shoving mess under the bed. It builds until it spills over or creates an unbearable stink. Start cultivating emotional awareness by naming your emotions and identifying their intensity using an emotion wheel. Begin with core emotions in the center, then expand to more specific expressions. For example, if feeling anger, determine if it's specifically envy, then perhaps hatred. Rate the intensity on a scale of 0 to 10. Learning to self-soothe rather than numbing emotions is essential for emotional resilience. Several effective practices include hot pen journaling, writing without restrictions until everything is out, primal experiencing, physically expressing emotions through movement, havening, self-soothing touch combined with breathing, bilateral stimulation, passing an object across your body's centerline, and prayer, actively soliciting help from the universe. Joy is your intended default state, yet we often resist fully experiencing positive emotions. While alcohol numbs dark emotions, it also diminishes your capacity for light ones. Numb the dark, and you numb the light. Though drinking during celebrations seems to amplify good feelings, it actually prevents fully internalizing high-vibe emotions. Many of us unconsciously avoid happiness through behaviors like deflecting compliments, hiding excitement, downplaying success, avoiding getting too excited for fear of jinxing outcomes, or constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop. Practice accepting compliments with a simple, warm thank you while maintaining eye contact. Write the mantra, "I accept compliments with ease and grace," somewhere visible daily. Create a note in your phone labeled love nudges and document whenever someone demonstrates care for you, from compliments to small kindnesses. By tuning into sensory experiences, sight, sound, touch, smell, and taste, you can find delight in small pleasures like savoring morning coffee, appreciating a beautiful flower, or basking in perfect sunshine. When I quit drinking, I feared becoming a social outcast and losing friendships built around alcohol. Turning to spiritual guidance, I prayed for a miracle to help navigate my relationships in sobriety. Surprisingly, my friendships began transforming naturally. Party friends joined me for morning workouts and organized hikes, while those I worried would judge me most actually showed supportive gestures, like ensuring non-alcoholic options at gatherings. As you embrace sobriety, your friendships will naturally evolve. Take inventory by listing friendship qualities you want more of versus less of to identify which relationships energize versus drain you. Take initiative with your most fulfilling friendships by scheduling alcohol-free activities and setting clear boundaries. Finally, take a step back from drinking-centered relationships without dramatic confrontations, allowing space to reassess their value. Remember that no sustainable relationship is built on alcohol. If drinking is what holds your friendship together, you deserve better connections that allow for true depth and vulnerability. You may feel everyone in your world drinks just like you, but that's because like attracts like. Your current social circle reflects your energetic frequency. Once you shift your focus to improving your energetic vibration, you'll naturally begin attracting individuals who match your new frequency while gently repelling those who don't. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Your social circle either lifts you up or keeps you tethered to your comfort zone, as we subconsciously calibrate our potential to match our surroundings. To grow and rise, consciously integrate yourself into social groups where higher levels of success are encouraged and expected. After committing to sobriety, I intentionally called in new friendships aligned with my evolving values. See your own light by recognizing that the qualities you admire in others reflect what exists within you. Heal your shadow by examining the negative characteristics that trigger you in others, as these often reflect disowned parts of yourself. Belong yourself by frequenting places where growth-minded people gather, yoga studios, meditation lounges, cultural events, and taking the initiative to introduce yourself and follow up with connections. You deserve fulfilling relationships rooted in reciprocity and growth that reflect your truest potential. In authentic connections, you shouldn't need to perform or dilute yourself to be accepted. While these relationships require work, it brings pride and fulfillment. After feeling like a social outcast who constantly performed to fit in, I now feel celebrated for my authentic self, surrounded by friends who champion my potential. Removing alcohol opens the door to discovering your authentic self, the person you were meant to be without the dilution of drinking. Authenticity means the daily practice of letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are, as Brené Brown defines it. When we hide behind carefully calculated personas, we lose our brilliance and uniqueness, becoming mere holograms of our potential selves. Authenticity forms the backbone of achieving your potential. Without being connected to your authentic truth, you'll struggle to identify and pursue your genuine desires. Many people have become so entangled with societal expectations that they've lost touch with their true wants, settling for mediocre lives instead of pursuing authentic desires. When disconnected from your authentic self, discontent or depression often follows, leading many to numb these feelings with alcohol. These women abandon their authentic selves and desires to meet external expectations, using alcohol to cope with the resulting misalignment. The discomfort of living inauthentically eventually demands attention, making alcohol a convenient tool for temporarily forgetting this fundamental disconnection. Identifying your core values is essential when feeling misaligned with your current path. This practice helps establish boundaries and determine which opportunities to pursue or decline. When I first completed a core values exercise in 2017, mine emerged as authenticity, happiness, love, peace, and spirituality, none of which were present in my drinking life. Pursuing your personal potential becomes essential to succeeding as a non-drinker. When alcohol is removed, you gain time and energy that must be channeled into fulfilling activities to experience the true benefits of sobriety. Rather than defaulting to productivity by societal standards, be intentional about how you spend this newfound freedom. To get into authentic alignment, be curious about what authenticity truly means. It's not about being unfiltered, but about vulnerability and kindness. Be friendly with all past versions of yourself. Each has served a purpose in your journey. Be courageous enough to show up without masks or numbing. Authentic living requires unlearning suboptimal behaviors and relearning new ways of being. Many of us spend years climbing career ladders only to realize we're on the wrong one. Removing alcohol creates space to redefine professional success on your own terms rather than society's. Everyone has a unique calling, a purpose or talent they're meant to express. This calling might seem frivolous or impossible, but it's your unique competitive edge. Finding your calling doesn't happen overnight. Getting back to your authentic self takes time and exploration. If you're ready to step into your professional potential but uncertain about next steps, ask yourself, is your current career truly your calling? What are your biggest aspirations? If there were no limitations, what would you be paid to do? Begin by researching your potential calling. If you're unsure what it is, become a curious learner, read books, and listen to podcasts about various career paths. If you have a sense of your calling, connect with people already doing what you desire. Your vision will likely evolve with exposure to possibilities. Do the groundwork while trusting divine timing and following your intuition toward new connections. Though never particularly religious, I've always felt connected to something beyond physical sight. The problem was trying to maintain two opposing lifestyles, mindful spirituality on weekdays and mindless partying on weekends. Despite reading spiritual texts, meditating, attending retreats, and praying, I couldn't fully connect with the all-loving presence others described. As time passed, this spiritual longing intensified, and I knew I'd never fully access it while clinging to alcohol. Looking back, I now see that quitting drinking wasn't just about disliking alcohol's effects. I was on the cusp of a massive spiritual awakening. My inner guide knew alcohol was blocking my connection to the universe. A spiritual awakening is essentially an unshakable desire for energetic upgrade, your body and mind rejecting the mundane. The most productive spiritual connections are those we cultivate using intuition. You don't need anything external to be spiritual. No particular religion, guru, crystals, tarot, retreats, meditation, psychedelics, or yoga. You're inherently a spiritual being having a human experience with an omnipresent spiritual connection that's often overshadowed. This isn't a book about drinking differently. It's about creating a life so beautiful that alcohol becomes insignificant. My mission is awakening you to your potential through elective sobriety, a path that transformed me from a lost party girl to someone living an alcohol-free life full of miracles. In just 5 years, I've accomplished more than in over a decade of the work hard, play hard lifestyle, achieving emotional grounding, wholehearted relationships, career fulfillment, financial abundance, and spiritual connection. Your sober curiosity isn't a cruel punishment, but a divine assignment. You've been called to step up to your potential in a way unavailable to you as a drinker. View sobriety as an elite secret club you've been given the password for. When tempted to decide the assignment is over, trust your inner guide and know you weren't guided to this path randomly. Patience is crucial when recalibrating to a new normal. Release expectations about results or timelines and trust perfect timing. When life seems temporarily more difficult, remind yourself things aren't getting worse, they're getting real. You're acclimating to a reality you've hidden from for years. Like a toddler learning to walk, life will feel wobbly, but you've got what it takes to stand tall. Your exploration of an alcohol-free lifestyle places you on the cutting edge. As a leader in this movement, practice humility and patience. Your responsibility isn't to preach, but to demonstrate how robust an alcohol-free lifestyle can be. Be generous with those curious about sobriety and gentle with those uninterested. You'll experience many firsts as an alcohol-free person. Commit to celebrating your magnificence and honoring your commitment. My proudest moments have been facing difficult situations with no alcohol to numb the experience. Make an important practice of celebrating the pure, raw fullness of life. With alcohol no longer in your way, the inner voice of fear may still attempt to keep you stuck. Remember, you're always being guided. If you sense you're not living up to your potential, view this as an opportunity to grow. your inner guide will show you the resources and teachers you need. We need you awake. We need whatever you have to offer the world. We need you showing up emotionally, in your relationships, as an example of expressing potential purpose. You have the capacity to be magnificent, fully embodied, deeply connected, authentically expressed, and wholly supported. This is your invitation to claim what was meant for you and unbottle your potential.